I don't know if I should plead guilty or just say I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't plead guilty. I plead total ignorance.
Good morning. Announcements for this morning. There will be no Vespers service tonight, but I'm pretty sure SEM service is here at 7 o'clock. Yes. So there'll be SEM service here at 7 o'clock, and I can't tell you who's speaking. So please come if you have the opportunity for that. And part of the reason that I ask you to come is not that you need something. It is that the students, it makes it much easier to preach and proclaim the word when there's a couple people to look at versus two or three instructors. I know because I used to do it. So if you have the opportunity, please come join for that, and there'll be coffee afterwards. Monday morning at 9:30, preschoolers and their mothers will meet here at the church for playtime and lunch. And again, I had extra food from the last time, so I froze it, and it will be fresh, and we will have that, and I will cook one more time. And then Bible study Monday night at the SEM, and that is at 7 o'clock. And Tuesday, we have our senior saints are heading to the loading zone. The van will leave here at 11:30, and that starts at noon. And youth group at Zion from 6 to 8. And Lenten service and soup supper will be at Lorium. In the real quick upcoming events, there's a mistake that I missed, and it's at Lorium, just so you know that. Thursday, Christian Women's Brunch here at 9:15. And then next Sunday is our regular Sunday schedule. And I think that's it. Very short on announcements this morning. You can peruse the rest of them at your leisure. And let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reading from Psalms chapter 2. Reading in Jesus' name. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath and terrify them in His fury. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell them the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O king, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing, or and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. We will continue by standing to sing our opening hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. Savior reigns, the God of truth and law. When he had purged our saints, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again.
Second reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Reading again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were witnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, we come before you giving you thanks that you indeed have spoke your word through men
by the power of your Holy Spirit throughout the ages. And that, Father, we have heard that word, and that again this morning you will give voice to your word through your servant. We ask, Father, your blessing upon that word as it is proclaimed today, that you would let it go forth with all its truth and power. That, Father, you would open our hearts and our minds to that word and draw us closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you would be with all those who speak your word, who proclaim that message. That, Father, you would give them strength, you would give them unction, and you would give them your peace and wisdom, that it would go forth with that same power. Be with our church. We ask that you would continue to work in and through all of our activities, through the planning that we have. We ask your blessing on the planning for this spring and summer, all the activities. That, Father, first and foremost, we would always keep in mind your Son, and that that is who we are to proclaim, to teach, and to preach. We pray for all churches, Father. Wherever your word is proclaimed in its truth, that it would go forth with truth and power. You would be with all those who hear it, and that we and they would become doers of your word, that even more people would come to know of your love for them. We bring before you our church federation. Be with its leaders, its pastors, its boards. Continue to work in and through them. We bring before you our annual convention coming up here. Be with all those who are planning and working to make that an event where your gospel is proclaimed. Continue to be with our country, our leaders, local, state, national. Bless them, be with them, give them wisdom, and most of all, Father, let your will be done within them. Continue to be with those who serve you in the mission field. Continue especially to be with those who are persecuted for your name. Bless them, continue to uphold them, and help them, Father, to love, that even their persecutors would come to know of your love for them through those who are persecuted. We ask that you would be with those who are sick and hurting. Be with their doctors, their caregivers. Help them to have wisdom to know how to treat, and we ask for restoration of health. Be with those who are shut in and confined in nursing homes. Continue to raise up your people to go to visit and to show your love. Continue, Father, to work in and through this body. As members of your Son's body, to go into our community, into this world, and to spread the gospel through word and deed. We thank you, Father, for all that you continue to do for us as a people. And we ask, Father, now that you would hear our prayers as we pray silently those things that are on our hearts and our minds. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Now hear us as we pray the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we will continue by singing through it all.
We A moment again, if you would, to pull a friendship card from the pew in front. And if you are a guest this morning, I would encourage you to fill it out and return it to the offertory plate as it comes by, simply to let us know that you've been here this Sunday. And if you have a need to make known to the pastor, you can do it by that means as well. Catherine will play briefly on the organ, and you can do it while that is played.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you giving you thanks for all that you continue to do for us, for all the earthly blessings that you give us each and every day. And Father, as we give a portion of that back in the form of tithes and offerings, we ask again that you would bless it, and that through it, your gospel would go forth and people would come to know of your love for them. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. During the singing of our next hymn, your tithes and offerings will be received.
In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He washed the bleeding sin wounds and poured in oil and wine. He whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice. It made my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. He pointed to the nail print, for me his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wonder what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Oh, the blood that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. I'm sitting in his presence, the sunshine of his face, while with adoring wonder his blessings I retrace. It seems as if eternal days are far too short to sound his praise. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. So while the hours are passing, all now is perfect rest. I'm waiting for the morning, the brightest and the best, when he will call us to his side to be with him his spotless bride. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to all. This morning, we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday, a Sunday in which the church celebrates a time when the disciples get to see something and hear something about the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ
that they will not witness again until His resurrection. We are going to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory. And that happens and is witnessed by three of His disciples who were not able to hear God's voice when He was baptized. And we will also see Jesus standing with two people who are very important within the Old Testament. And in the end, we will see that He is the only one standing. And we will find that now it is Jesus Christ whom we are to follow. And because Jesus Christ is now the Son of God, as we will hear in that announcement, and His sacrificial death and resurrection, we have a New Testament where God has overcome the old, meaning that we, sinners, are now able to know that we are forgiven for all our sins, past, present, and future. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While yet he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's very interesting that this happened 6 days after a conversation that Jesus had had with his disciples, where these questions are asked. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked the disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? And so we get into chapter 17, that's chapter 16, verses 13 and following. We move into 17, and it is 6 days later. And he has told his disciples about his death and his resurrection. And of course, his disciples don't like it, especially Peter. And he says, this can never happen. And this is really where our text picks up. And Matthew, the gospel writer, saw this as something that's very important, especially in light of that conversation. In 6 days, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up into a high mountain by themselves. Now, first of all, this seems to be the place that Jesus, or the place where God meets people in announcements. If we think about Sinai, that's where he met Moses to give the law. High mountains where they go up to be by themselves, and God encounters mankind in those types of places. And what happens there is very surreal. He was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And I was thinking about this as I was sitting in the pew, and I didn't know this, but take a look at your bulletin. Behind that cross is the sun, and how bright, this is a rendering by a camera, but how bright would that light be looking at it with your bare eyes? It would be very bright. And it would be one of those things that kind of makes you, well, I can't stare at it for long, or my eyes start to block it out. But this is now how Jesus appears. The man whom they had followed, the man whom was teaching them, this is how he appears and how bright his clothing now looks and what he looks. His face shone like the sun. And then shows up two very, very important people. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And so now we have two, arguably, of the most important people within the Old Testament, within the Pentateuch, within the Torah, as the Jews call the Old Testament. We have Moses, the writer of the first five books, the one whom God met upon the mountain, the one whom God set his people free with, and we have Elijah the prophet, standing for all those prophets, messengers from God, whom God used to bring messages to his people when they were messing up. And they are standing there talking to Jesus. And so now I'm sure within the minds of the disciples, they're going, hey, this is Jesus. He's talking to these two most important people in the Old Testament, those whom we revere. He's just as important. He's right there with Moses and Elijah. Isn't this really cool? And that's really what Peter gets to, and he says to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So now, we're going to go camping. We got to get this set up. We got to get shelter for you and for Moses and Elijah. We got to put these tents up so that we can stay here. And we'll keep this here. But they weren't there to go camping. They were there for a very, very specific reason. And in the midst of Peter talking, at that same time, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." It's almost as if God shows up in that bright cloud to say, "Peter, you're missing the point. Yes, Moses and Elijah were there, and they're very important. And Jesus is there. But God is making the point that it is Jesus that you are to listen to. Here you have the very writer or recorder of the law, one of the most powerful prophets. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, you better go back and read what Moses had. You better go hear what the law has to say. He doesn't say, hey, you better go back and read Elijah and then pick up with the rest of the prophets like Isaiah. As a matter of fact, what he says is, this is my son. Listen to him. And when that cloud speaks, the disciples are absolutely terrified, for they are in the presence of God. God within that. And he shows himself as a cloud even within the Old Testament, as he was on Mount Sinai and as a pillar of cloud throughout leading the Israelites throughout the desert. And then something happens that's very, very human. As they are on their face and they are terrified, Jesus reaches down and touches them. Touch. Such a human thing. Something that we all crave and we all desire. In the midst of their terror, the Son of God reaches down and lays a comforting hand upon them. Reaches down and touches them and says this to them, rise up and have no fear. And this is really the message of the New Testament. Each time throughout the New Testament that the announcement of Jesus is coming, from the start, when the angel showed up talk to Mary and Joseph, they say, fear not. When the cloud of the heavenly host appears to the shepherds in the fields, the announcement is, fear not. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not someone to be feared. The announcement that is made in the New Testament is not one of fear and scared that's going to drive us into behaving, but rather one of love, touch, and compassion. And that's what Jesus Christ does to his disciples. In the midst of their terror of facing of looking upon even God in a cloud, Jesus Christ tells them not to fear. Too many times we have been taught that God is someone to fear, someone whom is out to punish and hurt because of our sin. If God was certainly out to punish, Peter would have got it at this point. For Peter comes after Jesus tells of his death and says this, far be it for you, Lord, shall this never happen to you. And this is what Jesus says to him. Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance for me. Peter messes this whole thing up, and yet the Son of God doesn't think him not holy enough to bring him up on the mountain, to see him in his glory, and to hear the very voice of God. God is not to be feared anymore. He sent His Son. And He poured upon all His wrath upon His Son for the sin of mankind. That death He faced, that beating He took, that ridicule He took, that was ours. Those nails He received, that was for us. But we no longer have to fear. He took that punishment. He took it upon Himself so that we can now know that our sin is forgiven, that we have been washed in His blood. We now are told, rise up. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Enough of this. Because when you rise up, now what you are going to see is the person of Jesus Christ. And they lifted up their eyes and they saw no one but Jesus. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. Those things are now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is now the ultimate, the end, the living Son of God. This is what we are to pay attention to. This is whom we are to pay attention to. Rise up. Do not fear. The Son of God has come, and He has done everything for us. The only thing they see is Jesus. They who thought that Moses and Elijah were just as important as Jesus, that we would build three tents. God is demonstrating to them and to us that He is the most important. He now stands alone. It is not Moses. It is not the Old Testament. It is Jesus Christ, His death, His suffering, His death, and then His glorious resurrection. We have no need to fear. God has provided everything for you. Enough. Enough of us worrying about the world. Enough of us worrying about all this other stuff. Enough of us even worrying about sin. We have no need to fear these things. It is time we started to look to Jesus Christ. And in looking, living, and being in Him, the rest of it will take care of itself. The Scripture says that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek Jesus Christ. He is the kingdom of heaven. Understand who He is. Know Him. So we have no reason to fear. We also have no reason to worry about all the stuff of this world. It cannot overcome Him. The whole of the New Testament really tells us is that we have no reason to fear. That Jesus now stands alone as the ultimate, our Savior, our righteousness, our sanctification, our wisdom. And it would seem very interesting because in concluding our text, Jesus says this to them. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. We would kind of think, well, man, we should tell everybody this. But it isn't until Jesus is raised from the dead that people could even think to understand it, that He is truly the Son of God. that He is truly the one that has taken care of everything. And it also is not until the Sunday, until His resurrection, that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon this world. And that we actually can be given the faith to believe it. We now proclaim this fact, the glory of Jesus Christ, His preeminence over the Old Testament, His completion of that, His fulfillment of that. We proclaim that each and every day. We proclaim His glory, His love for mankind, that we do not have to fear, that rather He has taken everything and completed everything for us so that we can go to heaven. That we can now be called the sons of God. It is not through the law that was given through Moses or through the things that Elijah and the prophets taught. It is through the one who stands alone, the person of Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven, that we have new life, that we can call ourselves the sons of God. Proclaim that each and every day to all the people that you come in contact with, that they too can know of the grace and the mercy and the lack of fear that we have as human beings because of what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Let us pray. Father, we come before You giving You thanks that You have sent Your Son, that we indeed can hear that message, that we can know that He is not only Your Son, but Father, that You sent Him as our sacrifice. That Father, through His blood, we can know that we are forgiven, and through His resurrection, we can know that we are raised to a new life. Father, help us to cast off the fear that we sometimes feel, the fear that You are out to get us. And rather, Father, that we would pick up the mantle of Your disciple, of Your Son's disciples, that we would be proud and loving proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ through our words and our deeds. Father, work in and through us as a body to bring the message of Jesus Christ to our community, to our workplaces, to our homes, that Father, people would come to know of Your love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will conclude our service in the with hymn number 435, This World Is Not My Home.
This world is not my home. This world.
resting place. This world is not my home. Though many would my progress take and beg me not to watch and pray, I dare not listen to their cry. I sing a glorious hope on high. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. This world is not my resting place. Sinner, come and go with me and see this land of liberty. Oh, do not stay, but tell me why you do not seek his home on high. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. This world is not my resting place. This world is not my home.
God bless your Sunday.
Underwater.